This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
But there is a recognition that Africa is an integral part of European security, if not North Atlantic security, and that things that start in Africa will very quickly have implications in Europe for European security. So NATO's trying to find a way to address those problems.
That's David DeRoche, an associate professor at the National Defense University, discussing NATO's approach in Africa as leaders meet here in Washington, D.C. Details coming up. Also, mixed reactions are swirling in Cameroon since Brenda Biya, the daughter of President Paul Biya, declared she is a lesbian. And a UN report indicates refugees on dangerous land routes across Africa are subject to horrific violence and abuse. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. A United Nations report that Reuters News saw on Monday says the Ugandan army has provided support to the M23 rebel group operating in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. For analysis, I spoke with Edward Ruema of VOA's Central Africa Service.
This was divulged during a recent hearing at the UN Security Council, where the UN representative in the DRC accused Ugandan army of providing intelligence to M23. M23 is a rebel group that is fighting the DRC government in Eastern Congo. Last year, this group has been able to capture so many towns, and many are fearful that it might also capture one of the largest cities in North Kivu, which is Goma. So there are fears that this continued support continues to escalate the ongoing insecurity in Eastern Congo. So this report was filed by the UN group of experts, and it has accused Uganda and Rwanda of providing military and intelligence support to M23.
But the deputy spokesman for Uganda's armed forces has said, and he told Reuters, that the report falsely accuses Uganda.
Well, we haven't read in detail what is in that report and the kind of evidence that the report has. But we know, according to the deputy military spokesperson, of course, it is public knowledge that Uganda has been working with the DRC army to fight ADF. ADF is a rebel group that is aligned to the Islamic State that is based in Ituri province. So Uganda thinks it's been working closely with the DRC to fight those rebels, and I believe if the deputy spokesperson says that it would be double standards for us to be engaged with the government and at the same time fighting the rebel group. But again, we would leave it to the evidence that the UN has collected to see whether what the government of Uganda is saying is true or what the UN group of experts are saying is true.
And lastly, Ed, the UN has long accused Rwanda of backing the M23, but Rwanda denies those allegations. That's another story, Rwanda.
Yes, it is another story. And for so many years since M23 started fighting back in 2012, Rwanda has always been accused of providing military support and even providing forces to fight alongside M23. But again, officially, Rwanda has never acknowledged having forces in DRC supporting M23. But at the same time, Rwanda says it is always going to defend itself when it comes to its sovereignty, because it also accuses the DRC government of supporting and providing military support to FDLR. FDLR is a remnant of genociders or a rebel group that is based in Congo that is fighting Kigali government.
Speaking with me, that was Edward Ruema of VOA's Central Africa Service. Thousands of refugees and migrants who risk their lives on dangerous land routes across the African continent are subject to horrific violence, abuse, and exploitation. According to a new report by the UN Refugee Agency, the International Organization for Migration, and the Mixed Migration Center Research Group. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The report is largely based on interviews with more than 32,000 refugees and migrants between 2020 and 2023. It finds the number of people attempting these perilous land crossings has increased, as have the protection risks they face since the first edition of this report was issued in 2020. Physical violence is the main risk reported by 38% of the respondents. The risk of death, which was reported by 14% of the respondents in the previous report, has now increased to 20%. The report estimates the number of refugees and migrants who die in the desert to be twice as many as those who cross the Mediterranean Sea. Vincent Costel is UNHCR Special Envoy for the Western and Central Mediterranean situation. He says the risk of sexual and gender-based violence also has increased to 15% from 12.5% in the previous report.
The risk of kidnapping seems to be a new one. It used to be mentioned by 2% of the respondents 4 years ago. Now it's mentioned by 18% of the respondents. Almost one out of five claim that the journey involved that risk of kidnapping.
The report notes refugees and migrants crossing desert land routes in Africa increasingly encounter insurgent groups, militias, human traffickers, and other criminal actors. This makes them susceptible to kidnapping for ransom, forced labor, and sexual exploitation. Costel says he was surprised to see that the responders did not necessarily consider smugglers and traffickers to be the main perpetrators of violence. He says he thought they were the troublemakers on the route.
In fact, it turns out it's more criminal gangs that can sometimes include traffickers, but the perception by migrants and refugees, these are criminal gangs operating, and it's also law enforcement authorities, non-state actors, which are normally armed groups, abusing of the people on the way.
Costel says the UNHCR, IOM, their partners, and several governments have stepped up life-saving services and assistance for refugees and migrants traveling on these dangerous routes. But he says this humanitarian action is not enough. More concrete measures are needed to protect and save the lives of those embarking on these dangerous journeys. He says a greater push must be made to address the root causes of displacement and drivers of irregular movements. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This week, leaders from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, are gathered in Washington for their annual summit. Since 2005, NATO has been supporting the African Union and its 55 members. NATO members have said they are committed to expanding the relationship from support to cooperation with the African Union as part of the alliance's efforts to work more closely with partners in tackling security challenges in the Southern Hemisphere. In 2019, NATO and the AU signed an agreement to strengthen political and practical partnership, and in 2020, they approved additional cooperation initiatives. David DeRoche, an associate professor at the National Defense University, discussed NATO's approach in Africa with VOA senior analyst Mohamed El-Shenawi.
Well, it's certainly a vital thing. It's an area that more can be done. It's challenging for NATO for a couple of reasons. Historically, NATO was formed to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. Germany's no longer viewed as a security threat or problem, but the focus of the alliance is on Russia, as it should be, given what's going on. But there is a recognition that Africa is an integral part of European security, if not North Atlantic security, and that things that start in Africa will very quickly have implications in Europe for European security. So NATO's trying to find a way to address those problems, to basically solve security issues in Africa before they spread, both in terms of severity as well as geographical spread. The challenge is some of the regimes in Africa are just hard to work with. You know, they're either lacking capacity or they have an anti-democratic nature, as with the recent coups we've seen in the Sahel, or the persistence of corruptions. And then on the NATO part, a lot of the civil reforms that's needed and civil support for African countries is impeded by European insistence, primarily led by the French, that civil issues are a responsibility of the European Union and that NATO needs to step back. So there's a recognition of the problem, a recognition of the challenges, but it's going to be, I think, an unsatisfactory approach in the near future.
In November 2019, NATO and the African Union signed an agreement to strengthen political and practical partnership. And in March of 2020, allies approved additional cooperation initiatives with the aim of progressively maturing the NATO-African Union relationship from one of ad hoc support to substantive practical partnership. What is to be expected from NATO's summit in Washington with regard to Africa?
I think what we'll probably see is an expansion of access to NATO's institutional training and educational base towards more African Union members. I think we'll also see that there will probably be some sort of maritime involvement in things like operations to establish local sovereignty in places like the Gulf of Guinea to prevent piracy of ships and to prevent things that like illegal fishing that have profound economic impacts. And I think that there's also the possibility of increased cooperation on planning and exercising capabilities for use of military forces in disaster relief. But because of the impact of the Russian war in the Ukraine, that's kind of an all hands on deck effort for NATO. So only those forces which are, you know, not really tasked to provide support to reinforce NATO's members that were former Warsaw Pact, the Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, Romania. Ground and air forces are kind of involved in those efforts. So I think that a major focus this will be maritime, you know, where NATO does have excess capacity that is of limited utility in deterring Russian expansion.
So how would NATO continue to preserving security in the Sahel region following the French and American military pullout?
Yeah, this is a real challenge. So, Africa is outside of the NATO frame of reference. But I think, again, what the alliance's efforts will be to try to help build a local capacity to extend law and order. Many of these states are extremely weak. They don't have robust national institutions. And NATO, the only thing that is usually developed in these countries is the military. So NATO's educational base, which is a sunk cost and a static capability, I think that they will perhaps offer that to select officers and maybe even civil servants in these countries with the idea that if people get educated, eventually they will be able to sway their governments in a more positive direction.
That was David DeRoche, an associate professor at the National Defense University, speaking with VOA's Mohammed Al-Shenawi. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Mixed reactions are swirling in Cameroon since Brenda Biya, the daughter of President Paul Biya, declared she is a lesbian. While LGBTQ activists see her declaration as an opportunity to push for greater rights in a country where same-sex relations are outlawed, anti-gay groups say they want Brenda Biya prosecuted. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
That is Brenda Biya, the 26-year-old daughter of Cameroon's president, Paul Biya, saying she has received what she calls tons of insults as well as congratulatory messages in the past 7 days. The president's daughter set off a firestorm of reaction in Cameroon last week when she shared pictures on social media of herself kissing her girlfriends and expressing her wish for them to live in harmony as a couple. She said LGBTQ people in Cameroon should be spared violence and brutality. In a video released Tuesday night, Brenda Bia said LGBTQ people have been calling to tell her that as President Bia's daughter, she stands a chance of moving Cameroon toward abolishing laws that criminalize same-sex relations. Brenda said she wants to give hope and love to the many people in Cameroon who suffer simply because of who they are. Reverend Father Humphrey Tatambui is Director of Communications at the National Episcopal Conference of Cameroon's Roman Catholic Bishops. He says he was curious to watch the videos shared by Brenda because President Bia's family members are practicing Roman Catholics. Mbui says homosexuality, lesbianism, or same-sex relationships are condemned by the church because it is sin against God's teaching.
The church, however, is sympathetic towards people who find themselves in homosexuality, lesbianism, or same-sex relationship. Just like Jesus Christ, we condemn what is wrong, but we do not condemn the sinner because the sinner can always repent.
Mbui said the church believes that if Brenda stops loving and having intimate relations with her female partner, God will reconsider her as his daughter. Bandi Kiki is an LGBT activist. She says churches should allow LGBTI people to enjoy their lives without religious obstacles.
Yeah, some laws in the Bible which would absolutely not be accepted today. For example, capital punishment, slavery, etc. And I think the Catholic Church is realizing that because in recent times we have seen some changes. We recently had the head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, allowing priests to bless same-sex relationships.
President Bia has not publicly commented on his daughter's declaration. Brenda said she did not inform her family before sharing the videos on social media. On Wednesday, the Cameroon Association for the Criminalization of Same-Sex Marriages said it had filed a complaint against Brenda for promoting an illegal activity in the Central African country. Officials of Cameroon's Ministry of Justice say they have received and will examine the complaint. Cameroonian law prohibits sexual relations with a person of the same sex and imposes a penalty of between 6 months to 5 years imprisonment on people found guilty. Rights groups say that Cameroon's police target public gatherings of LGBTQ people and thugs regularly beat people suspected to be same-sex couples. Rights groups say about 16 people are currently in prison for alleged consensual same-sex conduct or gender nonconformity. VOA could not independently verify that number. Moki Edwin Kinzuka, VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
U.S. lawmakers returned to the nation's capital this week for the first time since President Joe Biden's disappointing performance in the presidential debate against presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump late last month. VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on calls from Capitol Hill for Biden to step aside as the Democratic Party's presidential candidate.
U.S. President Joe Biden facing questions from within his own party this week as lawmakers return to Washington and concerns that Biden's poor debate performance will quash his chances to beat Donald Trump in the November general election.
He just has to step down because he can't win.
Representative Mike Quigley, one of a handful of House and Senate Democrats who have publicly expressed concerns that Biden has not made the case he is healthy enough to serve another 4 years. but the majority of Democrats still pledge their support, like Representative Peter Aguilar of California.
President Biden is the nominee, and we support the Democratic nominee that will be Donald Trump. That is a fact.
The White House said Biden's debate performance was a temporary misstep. Karine Jean-Pierre is the White House press secretary.
He had a bad night. We've talked about it. He understands people's concerns. We have been out there, as we have been in previous months. You see from his engagement with everyday people on the ground.
One analyst told VOA that lawmakers aren't the only ones Biden needs to win over. Casey Burgat is the director of the Legislative Affairs Program at the George Washington University.
He needs to hear their concerns. He needs to be honest with them about where he has liabilities and what his plan is to attack those liabilities. But he also has a PR problem with voters out there. It matters a lot that Democrats are sitting lawmakers are upset with their own candidate. But it matters more if voters don't see him as a viable option.
Top House Republicans said Tuesday administration officials should consider using a constitutional amendment that allows the vice president to remove an incapacitated president from office. Elise Stefanik is the chair of the House Republican Conference.
There is no longer any doubt that Joe Biden is unfit to be our commander-in-chief. The Biden White House, far-left House Democrats, and the mainstream media are in complete disarray because they know this to be true.
But with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer not wavering in his support,
I'm with Joe.
The scenario of replacing Biden with Vice President Kamala Harris as the nominee is still unlikely.
This is probably the most significant election of our lifetime.
Democrats will formally appoint their nominee at their convention in mid-August. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
South Sudan leader Salva Kiir urged unity on the anniversary of the independence of the conflict-ravaged young nation, saying there has been progress on a long-delayed peace agreement. In a statement yesterday, he described the implementation of the 2018 peace agreement as a difficult journey, but said most of the critical outstanding issues have been implemented. According to the French news agency AFP, he said the government would work with regional bloc IGAD and partners to fully implement the remaining provisions. However, he did not mention national elections due to be held in December.
VOA. VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
12 children were killed in South Africa today when a minibus taking them to school near Johannesburg overturned and caught fire after being hit by another vehicle. Officials in Johannesburg's Gauteng province said the bus driver was also killed and 7 other children were rushed to a hospital. The French news agency AFP says television images showed the destroyed minibus after the early morning crash in Merafong, more than 70 kilometers west of the city. Authorities say police are investigating what happened, but it appears the minibus was struck from behind by a small pickup truck.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Al Santos, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.